Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. I'm Fraser Wilson and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by my Record Sport colleagues Michael Gannon and Liam Bryce to discuss all the latest news surrounding the Hoops, starting of course with last night's Champions League draw with Shakhtar Donetsk in Poland. Guys, how are we all doing first of all?
All good,
thanks Fraser. How are we doing, boys?
Pleased to hear it. Not too bad, mate, not too bad. Mick, let's just get straight into it. What was your thoughts on last night? It's quite a strange one to kind of sum up. Was it? Do you see that 1-1 draw as a missed opportunity for Celtic or a foothold that sort of increases their chances of qualifying for this group?
It's probably a bit of both. I mean, I think a point on the road in Champions League is always decent. I think the performance was good. A lot of positives to take from it. They should have won the game by room to spare. I mean, they should have been out of sight, really. I mean, the chances they created, the kind of dominance, apart from maybe a 10-minute spell after they conceded, I think Celtic were completely dominant. So I think it will be seen as a bit of a chance missed. But I think it keeps them fighting in the group. I think they are in with a good chance. I think Real Madrid will run away with it now, which is no bad thing. And I think the other three teams will scrap it out. And I think 7 or 8 points should get European football beyond Christmas. I think 7 points would be enough to get into the Europa League. 8 points could be enough to get into the last 16, which would be an incredible achievement. And I think Celtic are in with a good shout. They should have won last night. I mean, they played well enough to win the game. They just lacked that wee bit of quality in the final third. But if they had that wee bit of quality in the final third, these guys wouldn't be at Celtic. This is the thing. It's like if Tyson Maeda had a final touch that scored 25 goals, Celtic wouldn't have him. If Jota could beat 8 men and put it in the top corner every time, he wouldn't be at Celtic. If Giakoumakis can spin in that last minute chance and stick it in the top corner every time, it'd be Erling Haaland. Wouldn't it be Giakoumakis? So I get the fact that they've missed chances, that they've got to take it at that level, but I think the performance was enough to suggest that they can more than compete and they're right in the fight for this one.
Yeah. I find it quite ironic that we're talking about the finishing and the quality in the final third being the problem after the last month where Celtic have averaged about 25 goals in every domestic match. We're obviously exaggerating a bit there. But Ange Postecoglou was caught in quite a frustrated figure, I thought, at the end of that game last night. Do you think he'll be concerned by the finishing last night, or was it that just a one-off?
No, I don't think he'd be concerned. I mean, certainly not in a domestic sense. You know, Celtic will probably, I mean, they created a lot of chances last night, but in any given, you know, domestic match, you'd probably think they'll get at least double that. You know, and it's about the level. It's the level that they're playing at, and it's the level that it's kind of important to remember, you know, they're still adjusting to. You know, it's a step up for a lot of these players, and it's a completely different proposition to what they face week in, week out in Scotland. And it's just about taking these, you know, the lessons, really. You know, last week against Real Madrid, it was what these big teams can do to you out of nothing, really. You know, Real Madrid, they didn't do an awful lot in the game last week, and then Celtic playing really well, and then kind of out of nowhere, they scored those two goals and took complete control of the game. And then this week, I think the lesson is, I mean, it's an obvious one, that you do need to take your chances. If you're going to create that amount, you need to be able to put them away. And they were just, it was fine margins. You know, they were inches away with a few of them. You know, Giakoumakis, I think most of the time you'd expect them to put that away. Maeda, he's really not far away from getting on the end of that cross. So, I mean, I think you can understand the frustration for Ange Postecoglou, because, I mean, certainly in the context of the 90 minutes, it's a game that they should have won. I don't think you'll find many people disputing that. But in a wider context, you know, I think you look at the bigger picture for Celtic. You know, last year, you know, they didn't make much of an impact at all in Europe. A couple of decent showings, but overall the results were quite poor. And now here we are, you know, a year later, talking about them as, you know, you're hearing a lot of people saying, I don't think they're far off, you know, being, you know, not, you know, nobody expect them to go into the latter stages of the Champions League, but, you know, they look as though they belong in the group stage now. It doesn't look, you know, a team who, you know, last year were getting battered off of Bayer Leverkusen at home, and they went out to Bodo Glimt in the Conference League with a bit of a whimper. So to come from that to where they are now, there's been obvious improvement. So I think you can understand Postecoglou being frustrated in the context of the 90 minutes, but I don't think he'll be too disheartened with what he saw. I think he said it himself. I think if they keep playing like that, the rewards will come. But it's just about adjusting to the demands at this level, and that's not just keeping goals out at their own end. It's putting these chances away and being ruthless when they come along. Because, you know, Shakhtar, you know, as much as they didn't impress last night, they had one clear cut chance, really, I felt, and they took it. Maybe the one Shved had, but, you know, that was disallowed correctly. So that's it. It's fine margins, but I think overall, Postecoglou and the fans, I think they'll be pleased with where they're at this level, even if, you know, he's coming away for these two games thinking we could maybe have a bit more points on the board.
I go along with that. There's been obvious, clear and rapid progression for last year. Do you think, I mean, that these Champions League groups are over in the blink of an eye, and it's got the double header coming up now with a Leipzig side that maybe were looking weak but turned round and scudded Dortmund in their domestic football last weekend, which is maybe a bit worrying. Do you think Celtic's chances of progressing all come down to this double header, and would they be happy with 4 points, would you think?
Oh, they'd snap the hand off for 4 points. You got a point in Germany and 3 points at Parkhead, they would absolutely snap the hand off for it and put them in a good position. I think they're more than capable of doing that. I mean, I think Leipzig a good side. I don't think they're particularly terrifying. Another good result of the weekend. The manager sacked last week. I think by all accounts last night against Real, they kind of camped in a bit. Real, again, did the Real Madrid always do. They just hang on there and then produce moments of quality. Their two goals last night were sensational at the end as well. Another couple of crackers. So it's crucial. I think 3 points. I think if they can get 3 points in these two games, I think they're still in the fight. Leipzig, I mean, losing at home to Shakhtar was a bad one for them. But then Shakhtar dropped points at home to Celtic. So I think these three teams are all going to scrap it out. And it's going to be tight right the way through. Listen, there could be a scenario. So they get a point in Germany, 3 points at home to Leipzig, and beat Shakhtar at the park. And they could be pretty much home and dry by a game to spare. Could happen. I think they're right in the fight. I think that scenario could unfold. I mean, it will make it down to the last kind of game. Don't really want to go into the Bernabeu looking to get points straight enough to qualify. they should be out of sight by that point, I'd imagine, because they are so far ahead of everyone else in the group. It's frightening. But no, I think they're in the fight. I think this year, I think expectation levels should be kind of, I'm not saying low, but it's Postecoglou in this squad's first crack at the Champions League. I think already they've shown that they can equip themselves quite well. I don't see anything to suggest that there's anything to be scared of in the next two games, the next three games either. I think they'll compete in all those games. It might not go for them. They might lose. They might be narrow defeats. They might win, might draw. But I think they're on the kind of thrill ride, and I think they're going to be in it right to the end. It's not going to be a kind of 12, 13 point or 10 point second place group, I don't think. So they're going to be in the fight. So I'm a lot too positive. Certainly, I thought last night was just one of their best performances away in the Champions League ever, to be honest with you. I can't think of a game away from home in this level they've dominated as much as they had last night. It was an all-round good display, just missing that wee bit of quality. I think Liam touched on it. Celtic get 25, 30 chances on goal every week. They take four or five of them, it looks like battering. You might get 7, 8, 9, 10 at this level. it's harder to take that proportion. Do you know what I mean? So it's always going to be, I mean, certainly miss a lot of chances at home as well, but just that they don't get punished. Whereas this level, you do. But no, I think they've shown enough to suggest that they're the second best team in the group.
Yeah. Do you go along with that, Liam? I think coming in this group, Liam, a lot, maybe not the majority, but a lot of the Celtic fans would have settled for finishing third and dropping into Europa League. Do you think now that they are the team, the front runners, basically, to finish second and go into the latter stages of the Champions League?
I don't know. I mean, I think they've shown enough over the two games. I think to suggest that they can go and do it. I think the next game will be coming up against Leipzig will be crucial in that. I think it will give you, as I've said, a better sense of where Leipzig are in this group in terms of being contenders. Because obviously they took a bit of a heavy one off of Shakhtar in the first game, but I think there's been kind of, from what I've read, and I'm not claiming to be, you know, an expert on Leipzig, but from what I've read and what I saw them in that game, it kind of chimes. And that I've seen people say that, you know, there was maybe an element of the tools had been downed under the old manager Tedesco. I think he was already on his way out at that point. So they've obviously, Marco Rosa's come in, and then they've went and turned over Dortmund, who are obviously no mugs. And then again, the game in the Bernabeu, it's probably the same for every team in this group. It's about going out there and trying to hang on. They didn't quite manage that. It took sort of Madrid's brilliance, as it did at Celtic Park, to undo them. So I think by the time next game comes around, it will be, you know, Leipzig, they'll have a bit of time under the new manager, and we'll maybe see where they're at in terms of, you know, was that first game against Shakhtar, was that a bit of a false representation of how good this side are? And are they going to be sort of serious contenders? You know, obviously we saw them against Rangers last year, and you could tell they were a good side, even though, you know, Rangers get the better of them in the end. But, you know, that's kind of ifs and buts at the moment. Based on what they've seen so far, Celtic, I don't think, you know, there should be any, you know, trepidation about these next games coming up. You know, they showed last night, I think, that they're a better side than Shakhtar. You know, it wasn't, I don't think, you know, it was a case of Shakhtar were just totally content to let Celtic have all the play and, you know, try and hit them on the counter, because they didn't really do that apart from the one occasion. Shakhtar, I can't really remember Joe Hart having a save to make other than when he conceded the goal. So I think you saw enough there to suggest that they're a better side than Shakhtar, who were good enough to put four goals past Leipzig. Again, don't really know quite where they were at that point. But I think, why not? You know, as Michael said, you know, they came in and expectations were understandably, you know, quite low, given how long it had been since they'd been in a competition and how they fared in Europe last year. And it was just, they were a bit of an unknown quantity, because everybody could, you know, tell how much better, how, you know, far they'd come under Postecoglou in the past year domestically. But we just didn't really know how that would translate to European level. But I think there's been enough evidence in the two games that they can, you know, start to think, you know, we can do a bit of damage in this group. I think the two performances have shown that they've got enough to go and turn somebody over, I think.
There's no hanging about. Let's talk about Hak Šabanović then. Bit of a surprise starter, I thought, when I saw his name in the team sheet coming in for Abada. Were you surprised, Mick? He certainly played his part and had a role in the goal as well. Were you surprised to see him thrown in for the start? What did you make of his performance?
I was a little bit surprised to see him chucked in, yeah, I must admit. But I thought he looked the part. I thought he was good. I was a wee bit surprised that they got taken off at half-time. I thought he was a threat. I thought he looked really decent. People I spoke to rave about him. I think he's a real talent. I think, from what I can gather, he's got bags of ability, and I don't think he's particularly shy either. I think he's quite a confident lad, by all accounts, as well. No, I thought he was really good. I mean, understand, maybe he tired a bit, having not played an awful lot and missed a lot of pre-season as well. But no, I thought he looked a really promising signing. The good thing about Celtic, I think the gap between their kind of starting team and their changes isn't particularly high now. So, I mean, we all know that Celtic after an hour look a bit gassy. and understandably, the way they start games is ferocious. But they're now, I mean, last night, at a time, Celtic looked as though they were running out of puff. The changes they made regained the impetus again and the domination. We made a coming on, Abada and Moy and all these guys, Turnbull. It didn't. It gave Celtic another gear to find for the final half an hour. And they were completely dominant at the end of the game, which people maybe don't expect to see Celtic still going strong after 90 minutes, the way they play. But I thought last night was a different kind of performance. I think the first half was the usual Alamo charge that you get from Celtic at the start of games. The second half was a more controlled, pressurised performance. I thought it was pretty good. And I think it's quite telling. The Shakhtar manager was delighted with a point. I mean, I think he said that Celtic was showed against Real Madrid a serious threat. You don't get many managers who will be delighted to get a point against the team that are pot four seeds. So it shows that the other teams now are noticing that Celtic are a real threat in this group. And they should be confident because they've got players that can hurt teams. I still think defensively there is some slight concerns. I mean, the goal, I don't think there's an awful lot they could do about the goal last night. I think it was just a really incisive, quick counter-attack. I mean, the boy is at Mudia. They're talking about 30, 35 million quid. Different class. I mean, absolutely rapid. But then again, the second half, we're putting on kind of Maida. I think that helped keep him kind of quieter as well. I just think Celtic have got the tools to hurt teams. It just depends on defensively. I think they are susceptible to the break. But if teams are sort of penned back in and they're getting battered, the chances of them having the energy to break are reduced as well. So, no, I think they're well on their shout.
Liam, just going back to Hak Sabanovic, when he's fully up to speed, as Mick rightly says, he looks like he's confident on the ball. He's no fear to get on the ball and make an impression. Where do you see him fitting into this team? Do you see him becoming a regular feature of the starting 11?
Well, this is what I thought was kind of interesting last night. He started off the left, and unless I'm wrong, which I could be, is he's come in on the left for all these substitute appearances as well. But what I thought, and I don't know if it's just, you know, if it was just this one-off game, but sometimes I look at Jota going to the right-hand side and feels as if he's maybe not quite as effective. I thought he came into the game a lot more in the second half when he moved over to the left after Hak Sabanovic came off. So, I mean, I think you'd have to put Jota as, you know, number one choice for the left-hand side. I think Hak Sabanovic, you'll have to show an awful lot to displace him. But I think, you know, one of the reasons I remember Ange Postecoglou talking about bringing him in was that he wanted a player who could play across the forward line, who could give him options left, right and centre. So it'll be interesting to see maybe if as time goes on, he tries him perhaps on the right or through the middle. So, I mean, I think he's, as Michael says, he looks, you know, that he's got quality for the Celtic goal. He's made the right decision. He's been composed on the ball. His timing in the pass was great. I think he put a shift in as well. I think the reason he came off was maybe he is just a wee bit short of match fitness. And I think when you play and that Celtic side, the way they start games, it probably could be a bit of a shock to somebody who's not quite as used to it. But I don't know. I'm not sure with him at the moment. I can't see him in the immediate term displacing Jota unless, you know, he really hits the ground flying in the next few weeks. So I'd be interested to see him maybe on the right-hand side or in behind the striker to see what he can offer from there, because I do think Jota's better on the left-hand side.
Aye. Well, speaking of new boys, there's also an old boy that's sprung to prominence the last couple of weeks. What you made of this kind of rebirth of Marijan Šved, Mick? Do you think he was hard done by at Celtic? Because he certainly never really got a chance, did he?
No, I was at the match when after the game, and Ben Rodgers came out and said they've got a million wingers after they signed. It was it was at that time when Ben Rodgers was dropping grenades at press conferences on a regular basis, almost signposting that he was on his way out. So it's not a great start when the guy that signed you says, oh, I've got a million wingers, and then he quickly leaves.
I think he was doing before he started, really, wasn't he?
I think he's done. I've spoken to people in Belgium about him. Apparently, he was good for Michelin, and he did really well. I think he was okay. I don't think he was great last night. To be fair, I thought he was okay. I mean, he kind of scuffed that chance before he put it away. Yeah. They were ruled out for offside, and the ball went out. He was all right. I don't think he was particularly fantastic. I don't think he's better than the million wingers Celtic have now.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? So he's not going to be one that got away.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Listen, they got their money back from him. Didn't quite work out, but I don't think he's not any better than Jota, Abada, Hakšabanović, or Maeder, or Forrest, for that matter. So it's five.
Lineup when you put it like that, eh? It's going to take
five wingers that I think he's going to find it hard to displace. But I must admit, everyone thought he was going to score last night. I mean, I think we put the one back in it. It was a sense of inevitability. It was a surprise to get ruled out. But I don't think he's one that got away. I think Celtic, that's one. I mean, the Celtic are equipped all over the pitch, but certainly in the wide areas. And we talked about Hakšabanović. He will get game time because the way that Postecoglou plays, his wingers get flogged to within an inch of their lives. So he will be certain games when he plays 60 minutes and crawls off, or the games when he's off the bench for 30 minutes and takes on teams when they're starting to tire, as does with all the wingers. The only one really that plays, Jota, sometimes, I mean, he gets a move when he is exhausted usually, but Jota's the one I think plays most weeks rather than starting on a bench. But the rest of them, I think, will take their turn starting on the bench. Mm-hmm. But they're well equipped and they're all different, but they all bring different kind of traits. So it'll be horses for courses in different games, but no, they'll all play a part this season because of the nature of the way they play.
There's obviously the inevitable injuries as well that you would never wish on anyone, but I mean, having so many options there, it will be crucial come after the World Cup's over, when the fixtures are coming thick and fast. But getting back to the domestic league then, looking forward to the weekend and a trip to St Mirren. Liam, before we talk about St Mirren game, obviously 17 goals in the last three domestic matches, it's made a lot of headlines, a lot of folk talking about it. Do you think we're starting to see the fruits of Harry Kewell's influence at Celtic?
Possibly, yeah. Uh-huh. I think it was obviously a really interesting appointment, and I think to bring in somebody like him when you have got such an emphasis on wide play and how your wingers impact the game, it seemed like a sensible move at the time. So yeah, I mean, I think the numbers certainly suggest that he's having an impact, because you know the likes of Jota, Abada have all started the season like a train. So I think you know you've got to suspect that you know Kewell is behind that to at least some extent. But I think just you know kind of all over the pitch they've been excellent. And it's sort of testament to Postecoglou as well. It's like, I think if he gets a hit rate with his coaching staff, anything like he has bringing in players, then I think you'd back Kewell to do quite a good job.
That's a good point. Mick, you work closely with Celtic day-to-day basis. What is Harry Kewell's role there? Does he work specifically with strikers, or is it more a general first team coach?
I think it's pretty general, to be honest with you. I think, I mean, listen, he's been a manager in his own right, a coach and all that stuff. So, yeah, he's bringing a lot of experience as a player and coach to the setup. It's a bit like, I find it quite amusing sometimes, but like when Celtic lose a goal from a corner kick, they go, oh, John Kennedy, defensive coach and all that stuff. He's the one to blame and all that. As if John Kennedy just spends all day just drilling centre halves with corner kicks and all that kind of thing. And it's not quite the case. They all have their own skill set and experience, but they're all coaches in their own right, and bring a lot to the party. So I don't think Harry Kewell's just working with the attacking players. The way Celtic play, obviously, they're so attack minded. Everything Celtic does is attack minded. So they're all attacking coaches. When you get full backs that play as midfield players and wingers as well, centre halves that step in as well. The whole setup is attack minded, and listen, Kewell, I think a lot of him is also learning from Postecoglou as well. He's keen to kind of hitch his wagon to Ange Postecoglou and learn from him. So he's also benefiting from the relationship. I think he's bringing a lot to the group, but I think he's also he's benefiting as well from working with the manager. But it all seems to be all going swimmingly for Celtic right now. It's all going pretty well. It's a pretty smooth machine. Domestically, you think they're going to get confidence from these European games. The fact that they did go toe-to-toe with Real Madrid for an hour, the fact that they've given Shakhtar a chasing for the 90 minutes that night, that confidence is going to translate into the domestic game as well. And I don't see any kind of respite for teams that are going to face Celtic because they're just creating so many chances and they're playing at an intensity that you can't see. You can't really see the stodgy games you get sometimes in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. It could be a stodgy one on Sunday, something a well-drilled outfit as well. But if Real Madrid, who are a defensive-minded European team, for all their abilities, Real are actually quite a defensive team.
Yep.
If they can't keep Celtic at bay in terms of creating gilt-edged chances, then I don't think, unfortunately, teams from Scotland are going to have much hope either. So yeah, I think it's all going pretty smooth right now.
Over the buddies then to try and prove us wrong, but I suppose that there was drop points in Paisley last season round about Christmas time, Liam. So no need for a reminder of the importance of the bread and butter stuff to this Celtic team. Do you see them having any problems against St Mirren at the weekend?
No, I don't think so. I think on paper and the way they've been blowing teams away. It's kind of hard to look at any domestic game at the moment and, you know, reasonably predict that somebody might, you know, take something off them. I mean, you don't know. I mean, they will have an off day at some point. To be at your absolute best for 38 games a season, it generally doesn't happen. And as Michael said, you know, St Mirren, well-organised side, they might be able to trouble them, I don't know, but it'll take Celtic to probably have an off day and for St Mirren to play somewhere near their maximum. But at the moment, with the confidence in the team, and as Michael said, with the confidence they'll take from these European games, it's hard to see anybody getting near them at the moment.
You expect changes, Mick? Do you expect maybe another chance to get 70-80 minutes into Haksabanovic, or do you think he'll be rested?
Perhaps. I don't think there'll be massive changes. I think it's the last game for international break. So there's no real need to kind of rest. I mean, obviously last weekend they were without a game. So I don't think there's any real need to be kind of resting up any weary limbs right now. I think Celtic will be thinking, right, full throttle into international break with another victory. And then they can reflect on where they are. So I don't see it being a kind of wholesale changes. And as I said before, but the changes Celtic can make now doesn't really weaken the team. They went to Ross County midweek in the cup a few weeks ago, and it was 9 changes, and you wouldn't really notice that it wouldn't call it a second string. That's for sure. We've still got to see Oliver Abeldegaard. Is that what we're excuse my Danish. well, not to see him at the weekend. I think it might be after the break before they see him again. He's not had a whole lot of football so far, but isn't that an interesting one if he comes in at some point. But I just think with the one game to go for the international break, I think it'll be hell for leather. One last game, and then they can sit back a bit and some of the boys can get a rest.
Yeah. Liam, international break coming at a bad time, do you think? Or will Postecoglou be quite glad for that chance to sit back and take stock?
I don't know, really. I think he probably would want to keep this momentum going, wouldn't he? You know, it's been a blistering start to the season. They've absolutely come out the blocks flying. So I think, you know, to interrupt that with players going away on international duty, it's probably not what he would want. And obviously there's the ever-present fear for domestic managers when the players pack up and go away with their international teams. They're just kind of sitting waiting for them all to come back in one piece. So I think there's such a feel-good factor around Celtic at the moment, you know, from the players, manager, fans. It's going right the way through. So it's probably not what they want. But it's, you know, these international breaks are a fact of life, unfortunately, for domestic football anyway. It's not coming at the best of times for them. But I don't think Postecoglou will see it as too much of a too much of a problem. I think he'll be confident they can pick up exactly where they left off once the break's over, assuming everybody comes back fit, which he'll have his fingers crossed for.
Nice one, lads. Okay, Doc, time to wrap up at that, I think. Don't forget, you can keep up with all the Celtic news, or the latest Celtic news, more reaction to last night's draw in Poland, and build up to the weekend fixture against St Mirren at dailyrecord.co.uk. Guys, thanks very much for joining us again, and until the next time, goodbye.